Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good day, good week, good month, good year. I'm Bishop Randy Dean here with you for another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love easily devolve into BS, which is some things that you might call it as what we know to be BS, but I like to soften it up a little bit and call it bait and switch. We bait people in with certain words, but then we switch to our reality, which is less than love, and then people feel betrayed and not loved. But let's get about loving and not betraying. Let's get about being people of love, shall we? And that's why I'm here. And that's why, if you've never been here before, you're going to hear me rant and rave and teach and unpack and challenge you on the pilgrimage and the marathon of love. It's a lifelong pursuit. You don't get it done in a day or a year. You don't get it done in a decade. You're from birth to death and everything in between. We are all on a journey of love. I guess, in fact, as a man of faith, I would say we're on a journey of love even beyond our death into the fullness of a life just past this tangible life. So I'm here every week with these adages, these truths, these challenges. And we start with something I call Love's Creed. It's mine. It's something I wrote a little over a decade ago as a New Year's resolution. But I've kept it as my own personal mantra, my own personal creed. And I'm offering it to you. If you'd like a copy of this, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase. Randy Dean Ministries is all one word, randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send you a copy of Love's Creed. So we'll go for it now, and I'll get you to repeat after me in a moment. First, let me read it in total, and then we'll come back, and I'll give it to you in short bursts, and you can repeat after me then. Here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Okay, now let's go back. I'll have you repeat after me. After the short phrase, it's your turn to say the phrase that I'll give you. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. I know I wrote it, and I know I like my own work. I hope you like your own work, but that creed holds me in a center, along with many other things like the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed, and other things. But that creed for me is so personal and rich in my own life experience that when I read it to you like that, it settles my soul, settles my mind. It kind of clears the dust out of my mental hallways. So hopefully you understand that. And if you do, wow, I'm impressed. Today, I want to talk to you about this pilgrimage of love. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's a lifelong pursuit. You don't just one day wake up and have an understanding of love just because you say, I'm a lover. No, love is something of a principle and a power that demands of us a real credible philosophy, a credible thought life, a credible definition, so that each one of us, in our own way, we're defining it, we're walking it out in a way that makes sense to us. And then we find ways to, you know, to manage how we love in this life. And that's going to take all your life. Today, I want to talk to you about gratitude and boundaries as it relates to love. Gratitude and boundaries. So, first of all, just to talk to you about boundaries. I don't want to assume that everybody knows when I'm referencing boundaries, but a boundary is the distance that you have to hold between someone else and yourself in order to love them in a way that's practical and to love yourself in a way that's practical. So for a lot of people, for me, that's most people. I don't have to have a great distance between me and most people, but there's always someone somewhere along the way that's somewhat toxic, somewhat hateful toward me, unresponsive to my love, and I need a boundary there. But the boundary isn't lovelessness. Let me say that clearly. A boundary is not about lovelessness. A boundary is the safe distance that I have to maintain with you and myself so that I can love you over there and I can love me over here. That my love for myself is healthy, it's centered, it's strong, and I'm not beating myself up for having to have a boundary. My love for you, while for most, again, it's going to be safe that I can love everyone at a close distance, but for some, I simply have to choose. I'm going to love you over there because your behavior is toxic, because you live in a love-loss mentality. And a love-loss mentality means maybe your life has been so absent, applied and practical love that seems to you, or it seems to me that I observe you, that behaving in a loveless way, behaving in a hateful way, it's your lifestyle. I'm not going to walk in the same pattern as you are to hate you for that. No, I'm not alive. I'm not alive for hate. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. So if I'm loving you, but you're living for hate, I'm going to have a boundary. And a boundary is the thing that just sustains in me an ability to listen to you and understand you as someone who's not going to have access to my intimate points of living and life, access to my priorities. I'm just not going to give you access if you live in a hateful way, if you live in a harmful way, if you live in a determination because of your love losses. I'm going to sustain a healthy boundary so that I'm able to love me and to love you. I know that in my life, I've had a few, not many, but I've had a few people where I recognize their pain, their love losses, their accepted misery index. There's an index of misery in all of our lives that we're willing to live with and willing to live out and show out that, yep, I'm miserable and I don't mind. Who knows it? Well, when people come around me and their misery index is strong, and they don't mind letting me know that they're happy to share their misery, they're happy to share their hatred, I've got to continue my love, but I'm going to have to continue my love at a safe distance. Hope that makes sense. Now, again, if you have questions for me, be sure to email me, randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to entertain those questions, because boundaries is a tough subject, but it's a necessary subject in order to sustain good psychological and emotional health, spiritual health, obviously. I think that sometimes in places of faith, we've inadvertently taught that having no boundaries is what love is about, and then people get beat up over, I'm physically sometimes, but more often than not, psychologically or verbally beat up, and they come back to spiritual leaders and say, oh, I tried to love, but the people were just mean. They were in attack mode, and I didn't know what to do with my love. And sometimes church and spiritual leaders say, well, that's the price you pay. I disagree with that. That is not the price you have to pay. Even Jesus, when he offered the rich young ruler eternal life, when the rich young ruler was looking for it, Jesus said, sell everything you have and come follow me. The rich young ruler couldn't do it, and he walked away. So Jesus simply stepped away from him. He didn't go running after him. He didn't say, well, I have to love you, so I'm going to drop all my boundaries and go wrap myself around you and let you drag me around in your inability to do as I've asked, which in this case with the rich young ruler, Jesus recognized this dear man was trapped. He was trapped in a cycle of selfishness. He was trapped in a cycle of guarding his riches, trapped in a cycle of being incapable of empathy. And so when Jesus gave him that opportunity, and that opportunity was not acted upon by the rich young ruler, well, all Jesus could do was to sustain a boundary, which was to sustain his love for the rich young ruler, which was to offer that love as Jesus walked on. I would encourage you to learn how to do the same. When your love is not received, walk on. Here's something that I've written, that I live by. I know it's an adage that I have to sustain for myself, and it's an adage that I know that many others have resonated with, and that's this. It's hard to let some people go. And when they walk away, you simply stand where you've always stood. And in this case, we stand in love. If they come back to your love, they'll know where to find you. If they never come back, you'll still be true to yourself. But the point is, never give away chunks of yourself to keep someone in your life who would only walk or be with you if you became less you. See, being less you isn't loving yourself, but being fully you not in a get back at people way, not in a in your face kind of way, but to be yourself, to be comfortable in your own skin. And yes, you're always open to being changed, because as we love others and we see that our love is in need of growth or in need of being postured in a better position, sure, we change. But in terms of our essential self and this, our essential self-love, we got to continue to be ourselves and not give away chunks of who we really are so somebody will stick around, hang around with us. Well, now we're not loving ourselves, and as such, we can't love others if we're not first loving ourselves. So a boundary there is letting some people go. But as they go, stand in love. Stay in love. Don't let hate become your target for somebody who walks away, or unforgiveness. Sustain forgiveness, sustain love, sustain empathy. And empathy means when people walk away from love, that means their love losses are so significant. The betrayals of their life have been so dominating that they don't know how to respond to love when it's right there in front of them. So today's topic is two parts. One part is, if I'm going to love adequately and beautifully, I've got to keep boundaries alive. Second of all, to be a true loving human being is to be a grateful human being. As a person of gratitude, I've learned that I know I'm not a self-made man. My gratitude helps me understand I'm the result of every person who has generously given something to me. Any healthy purpose that I have in me, it's been given to me from somebody. Somebody's been generous in encouraging me, generous in targeting priorities for me, showing me the best way to live. And that, when I see that, and when I know that I'm the product of other people's love, well, now gratitude is a priority. Boundaries, yes. But now, when I recognize those that have been allowed into my circle of life and allowed into this circle of trust, wow. Well, now gratitude is so important. To be grateful is to recognize that I have been constructed by every healthy purpose and every healthy input from every other loving person around me. And I give grace for that, like I'm giving grace for food. No, I give gratitude for that. I whisper gratitude. Sometimes I shout gratitude. But at any rate, I sustain in my mind a memory of how I've been loved. And in that memory of how I've been loved, I say thank you every day. Anne Lamott says that there are three kinds of prayer: help, thanks, wow. So one layer of prayer is help. I'm in trouble. I need help. Somebody comes along and they give you advice and it's appreciated. They give you love. And so what do? The next layer of prayer is thanks. And as you live a thankful life, the next layer of prayer is wow. It's gratitude back to God. It's recognizing, wow, God, you met my need in a way I wasn't even ready to see or to embrace. I recognize that in my wow moments, every positive charge, every layer of significance, every meaningful thought inside of me, every deposit that I have in my life, it was and it is the result of some external contribution made to me, directly or indirectly. There's been a lot of indirect deposits made in my life, but there's been a lot of direct deposits made in my life. And to look back and say, oh, wow, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Maybe I say it to an individual. Thank you. That was significant. You helped shape me for the person I am. And to that end, what I'm connecting the dots here with you today on the topic of love. Love is fertilized. Love is stirred up by gratitude, looking into the lives around you that have been significant folks and maybe not so significant, maybe incidental, directly or indirectly. There's been an input. There's been a gift given you from somebody somewhere. I think of my wife's grandfather, H. Paul Holdridge, a pastor of 50 years, a man of God that I treasured, and he became a spiritual father to me. Even though we didn't agree on everything doctrinally, we certainly didn't. But in terms of his character and his lifestyle, his cheerfulness, his ability to smile broadly and laugh loudly, his capacity for loving me, this no-count, nobody, skinny little preacher boy, when he first met me and performed our wedding ceremony, and he was so willing to take me under his wing. He was so willing to associate with me, to befriend me. We worked together on one occasion for a little over a year in my father-in-law's furniture store. And Papa worked there part-time, and I worked there part-time, and we were rubbing shoulders every day in a workplace. And his cheerfulness, his help, his advice was immeasurable to me. So when I think of Papa and I think of how he behaved around me and with me, I feel gratitude. Why do I feel gratitude? Because I felt loved. And because of his love that was growing me, whether he was intentionally doing it or unintentionally, directly or indirectly, I was loved by Papa in a significant way. And he became a mentor, whether or not we ever really said to each other, I'm the mentee and you're the mentor. And it was an organic relationship. So that's one person among many in my life that I think of who have contributed to me. And gratitude is necessary to feed and to sustain love. To look at people that you recognize have made those contributions. And whether you're able or not able to say thank you directly, or you may have to indirectly just say thank you. Because gratitude fertilizes the fields of love. And when you're grateful for people, you should also move that over to the category of gratitude for the big world around you, to recognize that this world around you, from the minute you left your mama's womb and you cried out, you've been on the receiving end of the gift of life. You didn't have to pay a ticket to enter the circus of life. You just plopped in, and there you were, held in the arms of a doctor or a midwife or whoever it was that was there for your birth, and suddenly you're alive. And now in this life of challenges and trials, even as a baby when you're born, you're instantly introduced to the challenge of, wow, why is it so bright and shiny out here? You came from the warmth and darkness of mama's womb into the big bright world and its noise, and suddenly your little instinct to protect yourself is there without even knowing what that means. And you cry. So when you cry, that cry is there anybody out there to hang on to me? Then you feel security. Then you feel the sense of someone is holding you, cleaning you, getting you into mama's arms. Whatever the case may be, the point is to be grateful is to be fully connected to every reason and healthy purpose we've been given in this life to be ourselves, to be alive. So gratitude for life. Here we sit on this big blue space canoe called Earth. This space canoe called Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour in its rotation. It's just spinning around. It always has, and it always will. World without end is what we say, and the scriptures tell us. It's spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and it's traversing in its orbit around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, and the light of the sun takes 8 minutes to get to us, and yet it is perfect when it arrives. My point is this. We're on a gift. We're living a life that is an entire point of reference, as a point of reference, is a gift of life to us. We're being offered this treasure called life on a big blue space canoe that is perfectly managed by astrophysics. And here we are day by day, getting up in the morning, putting our feet on the ground. Why? Because gravity holds us. All of that is to say, there's every reason to be grateful day by day. And gratitude grows our love. Gratitude, as I said earlier, fertilizes the seeds of love and the soil of your life. To say thank you, every so often I'm learning and training myself, reminding myself, better word to say, reminding myself to just look around, hear a bird song, watch my dog being my dog, and living my life with my precious wife, coming up on 50 years of marriage, and seeing that I've been so blessed, recognizing that the biggest and most beautiful blessings in my life didn't cost me a dime. They were gifts. And all I can say, even if it's a whisper, is to say thank you. Help, thanks, wow, as Anne and Lamont says. Those three layers of prayer, they should occupy our thinking, our meditations, day by blessed day. Let me give you a quick little adage that I ran across this week. Some professionals posed a question to a group of 4 to 8 year olds. And the question was this: what does love mean to a group of 4 to 8 year olds? And some of their answers are just precious, and I hope it'll inspire you. One is this: when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. That's love. That's Rebecca, age 8. Here's another one from Billy, age 4. This one, I'll just conclude this part of it with his comment. When somebody loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know your name is safe in their mouth. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that precious? Love. It's the heavy lifting of life. It's the pilgrimage of this world. It's required of us to live a quality life, to be people of love. And that's why I'm here every week, teaching, training, unpacking, and challenging you to do that heavy lifting called love. We close every No BS Bishop Alive to Love with two exercises, and one is breathing. Breathing well means you calm yourself down. In order to be grateful, you got to breathe well. On the count of three, I want you to take a good, deep, cleansing breath. Pull it all the way down into your belly, down to the diaphragm, and hold it there for a couple of seconds. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The second exercise I challenge you with is to find somebody, if you can right now. Just find somebody. And give them your eye contact. Make full eye contact. Slow your words down, the cadence of your words down to a meaningful, intentional manner. Look somebody in the eye and say the three most charmed, magical, and holy words in the human language. And those three words are, I love you. When we have good boundaries and when we are grateful, saying I love you is how we keep our bearings and our strength alive. Looking at somebody, a stranger perhaps, it'll be startling. It'll wreck them for a moment. It'll make them, you know, have that facial dance of where do I look? They're looking right at me. I know. I've seen it. I've been a part of that. And it's not easy. I know it. It's heavy lifting. But it is such a beautiful exercise. Especially when you consider that some people may have never heard those holy words spoken to them in a direct way. Maybe they have heard it, but it's been done so casually or so in passing that it hasn't really hit down deep in their soul. And maybe they need that from somebody, even a stranger. And I would challenge you, find a way to give that gift so someone else can look at you and say, I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful you took the dare to, you did the heavy lifting of saying, I love you. You didn't just bypass me and give me a passing wave. And you didn't do it in a way like, I love you. No, you gave it real thought. Who knows what life you might change? Listen to me right now. You can't look me in the eye, but imagine some kind eyes are looking at you right now. And I am saying to you, whoever you are, wherever you're at, whatever despair or joy you may be feeling, I want you to hear those words from me. I love you. Now, I challenge you, take that into your soul. Give it to someone else because you can't keep what you don't give away. Give it to someone else and go out into this world of ugliness and pain. And let's do something beautiful, shall we? Ugly's getting done to death. Oh, baby, it's painful to know that it's getting done freely. Why not be people of a freely given love to counteract the ugliness of hate? Let's be the people of love doing something beautiful with every footstep. I'm thankful and grateful that you came here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.